Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
You know, the first 3.5 years we were on the road, we used to pass out survey forms to people, especially if they came to every session, because we wanted to know what you like the most, like the least, want to see more of, want to see less of, all that kind of stuff. And folks, on that form, there was a bottom section there that had just a little box. You just said comments. Put whatever you want to put there. This is the part that came up more than everything else combined together. People wrote things like, it's the part we hate to love the most. It's the part we love to hate the most. Go long that night if you have to. Don't cut it out. Don't cut it short. It's too important. Thank you. Those kind of comments. Over and over and over for years. You know, everything's in the Bible somewhere. I've mentioned that several times. Folks, the Bible says that the blood of one man cries out from the ground. Can you imagine the scream coming out of this nation along about now? I think we ought to feel pretty fortunate that we can't hear it, but I'm sure we're breaking his heart, that's for sure. Hey, look, this stuff here is tissue. This is a baby. And the two should never be confused with each other. And again, maybe there's somebody in here who's had an abortion or convinced somebody or had a part in some way or form or whatever. Folks, God will forgive you, but I do know this. It takes a lot of prayer to get somebody through that life after that time. They kind of forget to tell the girls, oh, by the way, this is going to haunt you for the rest of your life. They kind of forget that part of the thing, you know? When he's speaking the lie, speaking of his own, he is a liar and the father of it. You know, I started Sunday morning with the first handful of slides in. The devil is the master liar. Folks, we have swallowed some of the biggest lies in this country. It is incredible. They're teaching all over in schools, universities, all over this country now. It was in political science classes in Northeastern. It's everywhere now. They know it's a baby, so now they're saying the killing of an unborn baby is a justifiable means of self-defense from an unwanted intruder. Just as sure as somebody breaks into your house, they're going to stab your wife, you have the right to shoot them. Take them out before they can kill you or your family. That's the logic that they now apply to abortion. It is absolutely incredible what's taking place. And the only thing that works 100% of the time is just don't do it. Listen, if you don't do it, you don't get pregnant. You don't get somebody pregnant. They say we can't teach that. We can't teach the one thing that works. Folks, we have problems. You know what, folks? They're not only telling our kids what to do, but telling them how to do. And if you get pregnant, don't worry. We can take care of that too. Parents don't even have to know. And people don't realize this kind of stuff is happening. Justice permits teens abortion. Ruling lets girl bypass parents. Austin, Texas Supreme Court, late Friday, allowed a minor girl to have an abortion without telling her parents. I mean, folks, it's just incredible what's taking place. There is such a thing, by the way, also as safe sex, but that's not their way. We have the different safe sex failure rate stats, reality versus what they say. They're lying to us. They're lying to our kids. But there is such a thing. That would be God's method, one man, one woman, and marriage. That's the way God designs the thing. Folks, if people would just do what God says to do, it would solve a lot of issues before they ever even happen. We have now taken this picture in 7 communities across this country. People don't even know who their own dads are anymore. Dial us up, we'll help you find him. An abortion leaves one dead, one wounded, and one totally forgotten. We kind of forget it does take two, by the way. We were doing a seminar one time in Pennsylvania, big church, and tomorrow night before we get started, this big aisleway here, and hall, whatever you call it down the aisle, and this tomorrow night before we start, this deputy sheriff's coming in. He's got this stack of papers in his hand. And he comes up to me and he said, "Steve, I want to talk to you a minute." He said, "After last night," he said, "you disturbed me." He said, I had to go do some checking up on you and what you're saying and all that kind of stuff. And he said, "I cannot believe what I found." Folks, all states are the same. They're all the same, just carbon copied of each other. But this happens to be chapter 26 in the Pennsylvania Code, but all states are the same. But it's the crimes against the unborn. And they list, homicide, manslaughter, vehicular homicide, all that kind of stuff. You know what a defense is? For acts committed during any abortion or attempted abortion, whether lawful or unlawful, in which a pregnant woman cooperated or consented. Now, folks, in this country, you can have an unlawful abortion, and that's okay. Folks, we got problems. We got big problems in this country. Nevertheless, I mean, it's just amazing. Hey, folks, they're teaching kids these days in the textbooks that they can go in and do surgeries on these little babies. Remember this one made big world news. They're doing a surgery on little baby Sam. He reaches out and grabs a hold of the doctor's finger. Little baby Sam's not such a little baby anymore. But how do you save him today and kill him tomorrow? How do you save the one in this room and kill the one in the next room? It's incredible. In this country, a woman can walk in, get her abortion, and register to vote at the same place. Now, folks, who are they going to vote for? You know, they're only going to vote for the people that allow that stuff. Do you know, this is amazing. Folks, do you realize that 67% of the so-called Christian community in this country don't even bother to vote? Let me give you an example of something. Take a presidential election, for instance. You're voting for more than one man. You're voting for his morals, his lifestyle. That guy's in office 4 years, sometimes eight. Max by law, 8 years running. That's it. And only one time in our nation's history was somebody in longer than 8 years, and that was due to war. But it's 8 years max. But that guy's going to appoint all of those alphabet soup agency leaders who think like him to tell us how to live our lives. Does the worldview of that person matter? You better believe it matters. That guy's in office 4 years, sometimes eight. That guy's going to appoint 200 to 300 federal judges for life that think like him. Does the worldview matter of that person we put in that kind of position? You better believe it matters, folks. Everything's in the Bible somewhere. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Everything's in there somewhere. It's just amazing. This was mailed to us in New Hampshire Democrat Party. It's a New Hampshire Democrat Party. They mailed it. John Sununu is 100% anti-choice. The issue of choice hangs in the balance. Pro-choice, anti-choice. Now, wait a minute. The issue is the Supreme Court issue here. But now, wait a minute. What do you mean the issue of choice hangs in the balance? I thought they made their rulings based on law. You mean it's just their opinions after all? Folks, does the worldview matter? Does it affect us? You better believe it, it does. What has happened to our country? The thing is unraveling at the seams. The very fabric of our society is dissolving away. Most people don't see it. They don't want to see it. But if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to take a stand for righteousness, who's going to do it then? Who will do it, folks? Do you realize, folks, that the church of the living God is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth? That is rock solid, but it's not that way anymore. The church is scared to death to hiccup these days for fear of losing a benefit of some kind. There has been a targeted effort for 50 years plus to silence the church, and they've done an excellent job. It is scary what's actually taking place. Where are the preachers today? We have stacks of preaching messages, sermons from 1776, 1775, 1777, founding era of this country. You know what, folks? There was power in the pulpit. And everybody knew it, by the way, also. There was power in the pulpit. But it's just not that way anymore. And speaking of pulpit, when we get to a church, first thing I want to do is get the pulpit out of the way. Use it as a projector stand or just haul it off somewhere. They're not biblical the way we use them these days. It's really amazing. There's only one place in the Bible you can find a pulpit. One. That one place is in Nehemiah 8, verse number 4 says, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood." Oh, folks, far too often today we have too many people hiding behind a pulpit of wood. You know what we need in this country's leadership? You know what we need in this courage? Who's willing to step up to the plate, deny themselves, take up their cross, do what God said to do, and just simply say, "Here, my Lord, I'll do it. What do you want me to do?" And then do what he says to do, no matter the cost. Where are the people? You look high and low these days. But folks, because we have been asleep on our watch, the enemy has found this in the United States Constitution. Anybody thinks that's what any of our founders had in mind, they don't know the history of this country. And they're the ones telling our kids about the history. I'll give you an example of this very thing. We were in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Plymouth Rock, Plymouth, Massachusetts, doing a seminar. Monday, I had all I went to the high school, went to the public high school there. Some of these kids in these high schools, man, they're just weird, you know? But anyway, I was at the public high school, And these students there are trying to tell me that the people that came to this land, the people that started this nation, had nothing with religion in mind of in any way when they did any of that stuff. And I'm like, have you bothered to take a field trip just a few blocks down the road and go to Pilgrim Hall? They have a museum in honor of the pilgrims landing there. They have some of the pilgrims' own Bibles with their own handwritten notes in there. I mean, it's incredible. They have a big granite Mayflower compact right in the front yard. In the name of God, amen. And they came here for the advancement of the Christian faith. It's right down the road from them. And they don't even know the truth because they've never been there to see it. But folks, the worldview matters, because if a person doesn't know the truth of an issue, when they grow up and be leaders and educators, they're not going to be able to tell anybody else the truth because they don't even know it for themselves. Folks, it does matter what the worldview is. You look high and low these days and you just can't find the people who are willing to just simply do what God says to do. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, 1916. The whole reason she said she wanted to start Planned Parenthood was to get rid of the inferior races, Orientals, Jews, and Blacks. Margaret Sanger was one wicked gal. Margaret Sanger said the most merciful thing a large family could do to one of its infant members is to kill it. Jacques Cousteau said we need to get rid of 350,000 people a day to get the earth down in control where it can sustain it. Yeah. Now, you might notice when he said that, he did not volunteer to go first. You know, these people never lead by example. It's incredible. Look at this Planned Parenthood brochure from 1952. This is the back. This is the front, opened out for the photo. But they used to talk about a husband, now it's just a partner. Your questions are answered. Is it an abortion? Definitely not. An abortion kills the life of a baby after it has begun. Well, folks, that's not what they say today. They say it's not a baby till after it's born. It's all messed up. Hey, 1857, United States Supreme Court, 7-2, said black people are not legal persons according to the Constitution. 1973, U.S. Supreme Court, 7-2, said unborn babies are not legal persons according to the Constitution. 1857, they were wrong. 1973, they were wrong. But folks, here's the deal. This is the highest court in our land. This is it right here. And in each case, 7 of the 9 had a bad world view. Does the world view matter? Does it affect us after all? You better believe it affects us, folks, for years and years to come. But you know what, folks? We're not pulling the wool over God's eye. God knows exactly what's going on in this country and everywhere else. We're not fooling him. One of the things I always have as a goal to the seminar is I want to get people motivated to do something for God. And here's an example. Chattanooga, Tennessee is the largest city in America without an abortion clinic. There was a group of Christians praying that God would shut them down, and they were shutting down. And then there was one left to go. And nothing was happening. And this one lady said she felt like God was telling her to go buy the building and kick them out. The building was going to go up for an auction in about 2 weeks. Well, she didn't have any money. Well, she confided in her best friend, and between the two of them, they only had a few $100. They had no money. But folks, there's a very important biblical principle here. One person plus God is a majority, period. If God wants that axe to float, that axe is going to float. Whether it can or not is not the issue. So anyway, they raised enough money to justify going to the auction. Well, the abortion provider, he wanted it too, the building. So the lady bid on the building, and then she bid, he bailed out. Folks, they put it all on the line. And all he would have had to do is open his mouth one more time, but he bailed out. And so they got the building. And that sort of reminds me a little bit of Christianity in this country today. It's sort of like this. People say, oh, come on, Lord, I'm with you. Come on, God, let's go get him. Come on, I'm with you all the way. As long as the going's good and it's easy on me. That's really what people mean. That's why they bail out when times get rough, you know? I mean, it happens all the time. But you know what, folks? Sometimes God will take somebody all the way to the edge of the cliff where there's nowhere left to hold on and then bail them out and test that faith. Was that foot service faith, or was it just lip service faith once again? Folks, don't you know they were sweating it out? But you know what? They got the building. The guy that knocked the building down was on his knees every day praying for over a year, God, shut this place down, no matter what it takes. And he did. You want the honors? You betcha. Blasted the thing down. First time we went by there, it was a future site, National Memorial for the Unborn. These are two ladies it started with. Now the thing is up and running. It's sort of like the Vietnam Memorial Wall concept, if you will. The problem with an abortion is there's no way to close that chapter in a person's life. You can't close it out. If I die tonight, somebody in my family is going to dig a hole in the ground, stick me in a box, put me down the hole, throw the dirt back over. Well, maybe. I don't know. Dana said she might fry me. I don't know. But anyway, they're going to put a stone out there, put a couple of dates on there, put my name on there, put, okay, the goofy guy's gone now. You know, people cry for 10 or 12 minutes. It's over with. It's done. Closure has taken place. You can go years later and see the closure, the evidence. Yes, that really took place there. You can go hundreds of years later. The oldest stone I have ever personally seen and taken a picture of is 1682. We got a 1690. Couldn't even read the 1682. 1690. Folks, do you realize hundreds of years can go by and the evidence is still there? But with an abortion, it just lingers on and open. There's no way to close that chapter. So now you can get a name tag. Name that child. Put the date on there. Put a Bible verse. But I'm sorry, I knew too late. Put something. Hang it on the wall and bury the child, so to speak. And they're helping women all over this country. We were doing a seminar one time, and this lady came up to me, and I actually came up to my wife, came up to us and said, my baby's on that wall. And we said, wow, where at? You know, we took about a 400-mile journey out of the way to go see. But she told us where to look on the wall, and we found the name tag. She named her baby Gabriel Timothy Bishop. She put the date on there. She put Jesus 2, Satan 0. We won, Gabe. And that's what she put to help her with closure with that deal. Now, before this event, folks, this lady, she was losing her hair. She was skinny. She was ulcers. She was frail, just dwindling away. Once she was able to attain closure, she then traveled all over the country speaking about abortions and helping other women with closure with the very same thing, because she herself then had the closure. First time we went by there, this lady, she said, Steve, come into my office. She said, I really appreciate what you folks are doing. She said, you've given up so much to do what you do and how you do and everything. She said, come here. So we go into the office there, and she goes into the closet, and she comes out of the closet, and she turns around, and she's got this brick in her hand. And I got to tell you, folks, our eyes just instantly teared right up. She said, Steve, would you like this brick? And I said, oh, yes, ma'am, I'd love to have that brick. Folks, do you know that behind this brick, 36,000 human beings lost their life in Chattanooga, Tennessee? That's one small clinic in one small city in America. What would happen? What would happen if everybody that names the name of Christ would step up to the plate and say, here am I, Lord, I'll do it. What do you want me to do? And then do what he says to do. Would God use us to affect change in other people's lives? You better believe it, he would. You know what he wants? That willing vessel that'll simply do it. And folks, they're so few and far between. We have gone crazy in this country. We have stacks of actual body part orders from teaching institutions. I mean, all over this country. I mean, they're birthing these babies alive, butchering them, kicking and screaming alive, because they have to guarantee body parts are packed on ice within seconds of death. You can't do that. Death takes place in the womb, so birthing them alive. You buy a head, you buy a torso, you buy whatever you want, leg, whatever you want. I mean, we're sick in this country. In fact, they have comfort rooms now for these babies, not for mama, not for daddy, for the babies that are born alive. They put them in this thing they call a comfort room, slam the door and let them cry till they're dead. And then they call that an abortion. Incredible stuff taking place. And we've been lulled asleep in this country. People say, yeah, but we've got a Christian president now. Things are different. Oh, folks, that's another whole issue. But listen, now look at this thing. President signs bill protecting babies who survive abortions. President Bush recently signed the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, which was passed by unanimous consent of the Senate and a voice vote, that always gets me, in the House of Representatives. Now look, first of all, don't misunderstand me. It is a good thing that we have a president that will sign a bill like this. That's a good thing, so don't misunderstand. But folks, do you understand how far down this slippery slope we are when you have to pass a law that says if you're born alive, you ought to be able to stay that way? Folks, you understand how far down this thing we are when we're at that point? And we are. It's incredible. Now we got this guy taking care of the older folks. Now, look, have you ever thought about this? We're killing them before they're born. We're killing them before they're dead. Who's next after you're no good? Got that locked up too. Remember Peter Singer? Peter Singer is a Princeton University professor. Peter Singer is the founder of PETA, to give you some idea of his mentality. Peter Singer, back in 1999, was teaching that parents should have the right to euthanize their newborns if they have handicaps that they don't want to deal with for up to 2 weeks. That was in 99 at Princeton. It's all over the country now. 5 weeks, you have a baby alive for 5 weeks. They're teaching, kill it, and if it has a handicap you don't want to deal with, and that'll be an abortion. Unreal stuff, man. There was a group of handicapped people blocking Peter Singer's entrance and exit to his offices and all this stuff at Princeton, made mainstream publications. Nobody gets upset. Where are the Christians? Where are the people that know right from wrong, are willing to step up and say, hang on a second, enough is enough. And it's just not that way anymore. The Bible basically says everybody's on a road of life. There comes times when we have decisions to make. You could choose a narrow road that leads to the straight gate, heaven, eternity with God. You could choose a broad road that leads into hell. Have you ever thought about this? The enemy, the devil has all the videotapes he could ever use. He's getting more every day. The devil's got all the money he could ever possibly need. He's getting more every day. The devil's got all the media outlets and such that he could ever use, and he's getting more every day. Have you ever noticed it seems like the Christian is just swimming upstream, you know, fighting a losing battle, it seems. And it's just, well, that makes sense. Folks, do you realize that road is broad for a reason? The reason it's broad is because it has to hold a lot of people. So it's a very big, broad road with a lot of people, with a lot of money, a lot of ideas to espouse those ideas and get them out. You know what the Lord himself said about that narrow way? Few there be that find it. You know what that means? The folks that are actually on the narrow way, it is more urgent than ever that they do something for the Lord while they're there, because there are only a few there in the first place. So it makes the importance all the more. And you know what? Everybody, the Christian cop out of today, well, you know, I've read the end of the book, and in the end, we win. Oh, if I hear that again, yes, I read the end of the book. In the end, we win. But folks, again, the importance of this thing, because that road is narrow in the first place and few there be that's on it, makes it all the more important that the people that are on it do something while they're there. Because who else is going to do it? There's no more left. But anyway, remember this article, folks. The top scientists are more atheistic than they've ever been. And it affects what they do and how they do. But you know what? It didn't always used to be that way with Scientific American. This is the founder of Scientific American. In his first editorial of his first publication, the founder of Scientific American said, "We shall advocate the pure Christian religion without favoring any particular sect. First then, let us as rational creatures be ever ready to acknowledge God as our creator and daily preserver, that we each of us individually dependent on his special care. And he goes on and talks about the readiness of the creator to answer our prayers and such. Folks, the founder of Scientific American, in his first editorial of his first publication, repeatedly says it is only rational to believe there's a God that put us here. I want to go study the thing now and see how it works out. Folks, let me ask you, has Scientific American fallen a long way since its founding? You better believe it, they have. Has the United States of America fallen a long way since its founding? You better believe it, we have. The reason is we've been asleep on our watch, and the enemy has moved in and has taken over. Sometimes no amount of evidence will convince someone of something if they don't like the consequences or the implications of accepting that evidence. And in this case, maybe there is a God. Ooh, that's scary to a lot of people. You know, Darwin wanted to write a book. He was going to write a book, and Charles Lyell pressured him for 40 years. He said, "Charlie, you need to write a book, man. Write a book, write a book." Finally, Charles Darwin wanted to write a book, but he said, "I've got too many problems first." He said, "The human eye, to suppose that an eye could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree." Well, you're right, Charlie. The human eye didn't evolve. The hand of God made everything. People can believe whatever they want, but you know what, folks? The evidence confirms that this stuff is, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about your eye a minute. You have 130 million light-sensitive receptor cells that see in black and white. You got about another 6 million that see in color. You can pick up about 8 million different colors. You can see 8 million different colors. You pick up 1.5 million impulses instantaneously. The signal travels at 300 miles an hour back to your brain. And all that stuff happens so fast, you could block that hit. You could swat that fly. Folks, this is incredible what's taking place. Hey, think about this a moment. You're playing baseball, right? Not softball, you're playing baseball, a little bitty tangerine-sized ball. So for your job in the ball team here, you're way out here in center field. Okay, now there's another guy on your team that has this tangerine-sized ball, and he's facing away from you, and he throws it 100 miles an hour away from you. Now there's another guy even further than that away from you, and he's got a stick in his hand. He sees this little tangerine-sized ball coming at him at 100 miles an hour, and he steps towards it, and he swings, and he smacks it. Now here you are way out there in center field. You're picking up this little bitty dot coming up. And boy, here you go running after that thing, right? Folks, do you realize you're picking up the size, the altitude, the arch, the trajectory, the whole bit, the speed of your stride, where the glove sits on your hand, how far you need to get down to get enough energy, thrust up, out of there. Folks, do you realize the complex trigonometry that just took place in your brain? And remember when you went to school, you didn't even like math, remember? I mean, folks, that is an amazing thing that's taking place up here. Folks, the neurons linking the human retina to the brain process images more than 1 million times faster than the fastest computers. The most brilliant minds this planet has to offer have unlimited resources of money at their disposal. They cannot make a camera or a computer do anywhere near what a human eye and a brain can do. But we're supposed to believe that that complex system evolved when a lightning bolt hit a slime pit. Folks, that's just preposterous. Anybody can believe it, but you know what, folks? They can believe whatever they want. That doesn't mean that it's true. That just means they believe it. Darwin believed it. Darwin, again, he wanted to write a book. He has all these problems with all this stuff, and Charles Lyell pressures him. "Charlie, you gotta write this down. Write a book, write a book." Finally, Charles Darwin wrote a book, The Origin of Species. by means of natural selection. For the most part, that's all anybody knows of Charlie's title. It's in the whole title page is in this one. You can come take a look later if you'd like. But the whole title of Charlie's book is The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Well, wait a minute, favored races? Charlie, are you saying black people aren't as good as white people? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he was saying. Folks, in the 1800s, racism was running rampant. They needed a way to justify it. Listen, if evolution is true, racism isn't allowed. Racism is required. Because if evolution is true, somebody's on top. If somebody's on top, then by definition, everybody else is underneath. You can't get around it. As a matter of fact, we have a second edition printing of Charlie's first book, Origins. We have a first edition printing of his second book, The Descent of Man. In his second book, he came right out and spelled it out. He says the Negroes are at the bottom. He just laid out the list of where who goes where. Remember Ernst Haeckel? He's the guy that drew the embryology pictures. Remember the year 1874? That's the year it was proven he had faked those pictures. Same guy, same years, says the Negro, but it's the other N-word. He says they didn't come from a monkey. They are a monkey. Folks, evolution affects your worldview, and how a person views the world is how they interpret everything. But nevertheless, hey, very quickly after Darwin wrote his book, it was picked up by Karl Marx, the father of communism. Marx said, this is just what I need to justify communism. You ought to read his stuff. His own book, Das Kapital, in his own handwriting to Charles Darwin from a dear admirer, Karl Marx. Karl Marx wanted to dedicate his whole book to Darwin. And you ought to read his stuff over and over. He refers to evolution, mixing and all that kind of stuff repeatedly. Folks, evolution's dumb, but it's a lot more than just dumb. It's dangerous. It is a dangerous worldview. We're pushing down the minds of our kiddos, teaching it as though it's science. Darwin's body snatchers. In the 1800s, they needed missing links. They had apes and humans, but nothing in between. Finally, some people said, you know what? Some of those Tasmanian Aboriginal people, you know what? They have bulging eyebrow ridges. They have big, broad noses. They have jaws that jut out. They said they look more ape-like than other people. So they went over and robbed all the graves they could rob. After they robbed all the graves they could rob, they began to deliberately shoot these people and kill them as missing link specimens. In fact, the British museums have 10,000 dead bodies in their basements still today, many taken while they were alive. The Smithsonian right here in America has 15,000 individual sets of human remains, many taken while they were still alive. These people taught students how to plug up bullet holes of freshly killed specimens. Nobody's got a mount of skeleton if it's got a bullet hole in it, so they taught them how to patch it up and make it look like it never happened. Incredible stuff. Remember this guy, Adolf Schicklgruber. Well, you talk about a messed up situation. If I can get this right, his dad was an illegitimate son. He had his dad's name for a while, and then he took his mother's name, and then he respelled that, Hitler. I talked to Pastor Plum up in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. He's a pastor up there. He said, Steve, don't ever stop till you just flat can't keep going. He said, I was in Hitler's SS Army officer training school. He said, the first thing we learned in Hitler's army wasn't how to hold a gun, clean a gun, shoot a gun, military strategy, police tactic, all that stuff came later. He said, the first thing we learned in Hitler's army was evolution. All of Nazism is built up on evolution. You ought to read his stuff, his book, Mein Kampf. He refers to the mixing of the bloods and the higher cultures and lower races and all that kind of stuff repeatedly, over and over and over. How do you do this to people? Well, you know what you do? You get yourself enough people to say those aren't people. You just do whatever you want to do. In 1936, according to the Germany laws and government, they said Jews aren't legal people. They're not real people, so you do whatever you want to with them. And so that's exactly what they did. How do you do this to people? Get a mobocracy going. Folks, we are not, that's why we're not established as a democracy, a mobocracy. We were established as a representative republic based on the immovable laws of the Word of God. You know what you do? If you get yourself a mobocracy in place, you get enough people to say those aren't people, you can move that line right to where you want it. And that's exactly what we're doing in this country. And we've done it, every nation has done it. You get the book, The Hitler Movement, page 107. It gives a list of what Hitler thought of who. Nordics were close to pure Aryan, Germanics predominantly Aryan, all the way down. Jews were close to pure ape, blacks predominantly ape, Orientals slight ape. If he was successful with the Jews, he was going to work his way right up the list. Blacks were next. Adolf Hitler said, these aren't even people, man. I'm doing the world a favor by getting rid of them. Incredible stuff. But folks, the Bible says all nations of one blood. The Bible says...
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.